more on the war in Ukraine now. President Biden said this week that the U.S. would send advanced rocket launchers to Ukraine, which was welcome news for soldiers fighting off the Russian invasion. But it does raise new questions about American involvement in a war that really has no end in sight. Biden explained his decision in an op-ed for the New York Times, saying it is in the vital national interest of the U.S. to make sure Russia pays a heavy price. Here and now, security analyst Jim Walsh joins us now. He is with the MIT Security Studies Program. Jim, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
And yesterday, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that this new weapons shipment was a direct provocation. Was it?
Well, I think the Russians are going to try to continue to make the case that any supply of arms to Ukraine is a provocation because it's interfering with their invasion, which is a hard argument for them to make. But I think there is a real serious issue for us, whatever the Russians say, and that is, what is our objective in this war? And when do we know that we've reached it? You refer to me, refer to something in President Biden's op-ed. Again, not off-the-cuff remarks, but prepared remarks in which he enunciated what I believe for the first time ever, that Ukraine was, quote, a vital national interest. Now, for folks who don't work in the national security world, those are magical words. Those are super important words. The U.S. has lots
Help us understand why. Yeah, why is that?
The U.S. has lots of things it cares about. You know, it wants to do good things. It wants to avoid bad things, blah, 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 blah. You know, some are important. Some are very important. But only a few are vital national interests where you're willing to shed blood and treasure because they're that important. You have to set some priorities in foreign policy. So what are they? In the U.S., it's defense of the homeland. You know, if someone invades, we're going to hit back. It's supporting our treaty allies, Japan, South Korea, and NATO. It's keeping sea lanes open. Historically, that's been a vital national interest on the theory that that prevents us from being economically blockaded. But Ukraine, being a vital national interest, I have to say, is a stretch. I mean, if it was a vital national interest, why wasn't it in NATO to begin with? So that's a big push.
I mean, isn't containing Russia in the vital national interest? Couldn't you see that argument being made?
Well, certainly you could say that during the Cold War, the idea that containment was our strategy and not to let Russia take over the world as it was a global competing superpower was our national, a vital national interest. But that's, you know, that's not the Russia that exists today. Today's Russia has had nothing but problems fighting its war. It's lost 20% of its military capability. It's, you know, all the things that it wanted to avoid are now happening with Sweden and Finland, presumably eventually joining NATO. So it's already pretty wounded because of this self-inflicted fiasco. And you know, I don't know. Does Ukraine rise to the level of Germany or Japan? Does the survival of the United States depend on Ukraine? You know, I think there's a debate to be had there.
And let's take that debate a step further. What you're saying reminds me that in this op-ed, the president framed the conflict in moral terms, which I think, as you're hinting at, could make it harder to step back from this conflict. Do you think the administration is walking a potentially dangerous line here, that it might be inching closer and closer to getting dragged in deeper into this war?
Well, Peter, I think that, you know, I was surprised by the president's op-ed. I read it once, I read it again, and then I read it again this morning. And one thing that struck me is at no point in this op-ed does he ever talk about ending the war, that it's in U.S. interest that this war end, that, you know, there to be stability, that civilians not being killed. All he talks about is fighting that war till Ukraine is independent and has a lot of capability to, quote, defend and deter itself. Well, that's a recipe for a long war. And that's not a restrained war objective if you're the United States.
You know, I was also surprised to see the president say that he saw no signs that Russia plans to use a nuclear weapon in Ukraine. But if they did, if Russia did, there would be severe consequences. How should we read into a statement like that?
I know. I thought that was so interesting. So here's the exact phrasing of it. He said, we currently have no indication that Russia plans to use nuclear weapons, suggesting perhaps that that could change. And then follows that saying, currently we have no indication. Oh, and by the way, if you use them, we're going to threaten you and there are going to be terrible, terrible consequences. So I think that really does raise and should remind people that there are, you know, more than 10,000 nuclear weapons out in the world. The U.S. and Russia have 90% of them, and bad things can happen.
Very briefly, Jim, do you think what the United States is doing here, what the president is saying, could actually make it harder to come to a resolution here, a diplomatic resolution?
In the end, it'll be what the Russians and the Ukrainians, what they care most about, what they're willing to do that will determine this. But the U.S. can make this war shorter or longer by the choices it makes, more risky or less risky.
Here and Now security analyst Jim Walsh. It is always a pleasure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Peter.